Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com. Get ready for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
As a sayonara from Charles, who's going back to college.
I'm sad.
Yeah, we're going to miss
him. I'm sad.
We're going to miss him.
You think he'll miss us?
Probably not.
I doubt it.
He'll be dealing with Huggy Bear and the football coach up there at West Virginia. His name is?
Neil Brown.
Neil Brown. You know who knows Neil Brown really well is our friend Larry Vaught, the writer.
Really?
Yeah, because Neil Brown, I think he played at Danville High School or Boyle County, one of the two. Very good player and played a couple years at Kentucky, wide receiver.
I didn't know till this morning that our man Charles is the sports editor of the, what do they call the paper?
Rocky Mountain News.
I wish. It's the Daily Athenaeum, but we don't put out a paper on a daily basis. So explain
the daily what?
The Daily Athenaeum. I think my dad told me it's something with Greek, I think, is what he told me.
Did your dad go to WVU?
He did. That's why I'm there.
Oh.
That's why I'm there.
Okay.
So.
Right. Oh. Did he play with Jerry West?
He's not that old.
Now, he was
there when Huggins was there, though. When Huggins was playing, my dad was there.
Okay.
He graduated
okay.
2 years after Huggins.
Okay.
So you got to watch Huggins play a couple games.
Now, you were kind of down in the mouth this morning over what transpired in the draft.
Javon got traded.
your boy that yesterday you were talking about maybe being a first rounder.
I think I jinxed him by a lot.
Where'd he go?
He went to, I think, the Knicks, 36th overall pick, so second rounder. But, yeah, so we still don't have another first-round pick.
Yeah.
But Dan, his guy. I mean, this is his guy, Dan, Javon Carter.
Yeah.
Got traded from the Suns?
From the Suns to the Nets.
To the Nets.
He's going to the super team. So
he'll get a lot of playing time there.
I was going to say, he didn't get much run in the Suns. He's not going to get much with the Nets. So, you know.
Now, one of our texters caught us up with the name you were looking for at LSU.
Rudy Macklin.
Yep.
Played at Central.
I remember.
Terrific player. I mean, didn't really have a size. I didn't have a spot size wise in the NBA, but boy, he was a terrific college player.
Right,
power player, and that was a big, big recruit for Dale Brown.
Yeah,
able to come in here and walk away with him. Louisville, everybody wanted the guy in the country. I think he was a parade All-American, but I guess I'm going to have to surrender to you now. You can make fun of me. We were talking about the Kobe Bryant trade. I'm gonna put the ball on the tee for you. He was the 12th pick in the draft. 13th pick in the draft. This high school kid. Okay?
Yeah.
High school kid.
Yeah.
Charlotte takes him. I wasn't
played,
at Charlotte.
Cherry Hills, maybe.
Lower.
He played right across the river. His father was with the 76ers.
Jelly Bean.
Jelly Bean. And he went to school right across in New Jersey. And I think it was Cherry Hills, New Jersey. I'm not sure the name of the school. Came right out of high school and was the 13th pick by the Charlotte Hornets.
And he was traded for whom?
Well, Charles looked it up for us. No, you knew. Vladdy knew.
Yeah.
You thought there was somebody else.
Yes, yes.
But it was only Vlade Divac.
And what was my response after reminiscing about that trade?
So during the break, we're talking about that trade, and Mike looks over at me and says, "That was a bad deal." I was howling. Yes, Mike, that was a bad deal.
Well, we were talking about Kobe, and most people never saw the kid play in high school.
Right.
So you really have no reference.
Yeah, there wasn't any YouTube or any
exactly.
of that stuff going on.
And we heard about him, and of course his dad had played in the NBA and was over in Europe, and you heard about the kid, okay? But unless you went to a game, you really didn't see him. So he just blows up when he gets to the Lakers, and it took a while. I mean, everybody knew the kid could play, but I mean, he just blossomed, right? He was just short of Michael Jordan, that type of player.
No, and you know, we've talked about this before. You know who came up with it? In my mind, one of the best personnel people ever in the NBA, Jerry West.
And Jerry was the one who made the deal. And Divac was a solid NBA center. He may have even made the All-Star team once.
I think he did.
He was good. And people were on West about giving him up for high school players, okay? Because nobody really had a feel for him. But here's my point. Jalen Green, the second player picked in the draft, okay, out of the G League, from high school to the G League. I've watched him a couple of times, read about him, and really has terrific offensive skills and can shoot it, can pass it, can beat you off the bounce. Now, what is it you say about defense?
Oh, no, that was somebody's
– Marty Blake's kid.
Yeah, Ryan Blake, exactly. Ryan Blake's take on B.J. Washington was he was a reluctant defender at times.
Well, that has been said about Green.
A reluctant defender.
Oh, yeah. But here's what gives you concern, and you have to look at it, and you feel sorry for the kids. You talk about pressure and why some of them don't bounce back. Some of them don't grow their game. Some of them have mental issues dealing with this pressure.
Right
off the bat, people are writing about Jalen Green. Oh, he's got a lot of the Kobe Bryant talent. He's kind of like Kobe Bryant.
Yeah,
I mean, that's crazy pressure you're putting on that kid.
That's ludicrous because, I mean, you know, as you said, Kobe Bryant's one of the best five people ever play in the NBA. This kid's in the G League, and people are going to say he plays a lot like Kobe.
Against
Bryant.
Whom, right?
Yeah.
Against who is he playing? I mean, Kobe
exactly.
did it against the best of the best.
Exactly. And defenses, you know, really set up to defend against his game. Now, please don't talk about some kid that's a year out of high school and has only played in the G League as being the next Kobe Bryant.
You wanted to talk about some more about the draft, which
the NBA, as opposed to Major League Baseball, which almost everything they do turns out to be the wrong thing. The NBA always seems to do the right thing. And I thought one of the classiest things I've ever seen was last night when they made Terrence Clark an honorable draft pick. And, of course, his mother was there and a couple of other family members.
I think his sister, maybe.
Is that who it was? Yeah. I wasn't sure. And to have them come up on stage, you really have to hurt for those people. I mean, not only did they lose a basketball player, they lost a son, and it's just for the NBA to do what they did last night to honor Terrence and his family. I thought that was a very classy thing to do.
And it was unfortunate last year for myself and Tom to not be able to get to know these guys, travel with them and watch them and interact with them, and post game when they come out and sit down for the interview.
Right.
We didn't have any of that. You know, we interviewed via the phone, and we didn't travel with them. So I didn't get a good feel for any of those kids. But I've heard he was really a nice soul, really a guy that was so into basketball. I mean, he was a basketball guy, a nice soul, and to lose him that early. But I thought when I was reading about what they did, that was terrific.
Yeah, yeah, it very classy thing to do. For sure.
Two of my takes revolves around SEC players from the draft. Moses Moody, who I really like, and I think he's going to be a solid player for a long time, went to the right team. Now, he fell. Everybody said 6, 7, 8. I didn't know, but the teams there I didn't think were really needed what he did. I mean, he's a catch-shoot guy. He can beat you a little. He reminds me a lot of Booker coming out of high school in that he never really beat anybody off the dribble. He would straight line a guy, okay, or he'd catch and shoot. The guy had terrific range. And I thought, catch-shoot guy. They call it now, I know you won't recognize this, 3-and-D. You know, they don't want that reluctant D. They want 3-and-D.
So hey, not to interrupt you, but I was watching when we were down at Bear Nose watching the draft. You couldn't hear anything.
Right,
everybody's
right.
Talking about you just watching the screen. But I did see flash up on the screen at one point after one of these kids was drafted, triple level score.
Three level
score. I did see
you liked
it.
That,
oh, I loved it.
You thought I just made that crap up.
No, that's great. Great. Three level score. I'm sorry.
No, that's, but
you look at what Booker can do now. So maybe the kid becomes that good. You never know.
The kid's got a heck of a body. I mean, he's got an NBA body. But the point of this, he goes to the right team. Okay, the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. Now, he doesn't have to be a ball-dominant guy. He'll be a rookie, obviously. But you have Nance coming back, right? Larry Nance's kid. No, not Larry Nance's kid.
Thompson.
Clay Thompson.
Hopefully. He's been out for 2 years. Hopefully he comes back.
And Michael Thompson's son.
Right, yeah.
Got him coming back. If he's healthy, he can do things with the ball. He plays so well without the ball. But the ball-dominant guy is Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to put Moody on the side sometime during the year. Not right away, maybe, but sometime. Who, when Steph draws all the defense or Thompson draws all the defense, you kick it to the guy, and I think he can hit it. So my point is, we've talked about this so many times, you get with the wrong team.
Sure.
And I think that's a great fit. A great fit. He went late in the lottery.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was the last pick in the lottery.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing this from memory. I don't know. But there are a couple of other SEC players that I wanted to ask you about because you mentioned what was the kid from Alabama?
Primo.
Yes, sir. He went a lot higher, I think, than a lot of people were expecting. And you mentioned that. You like Primo.
I like him. He's athletic at 6'6". He was late lottery, too. Get Charles to find out which team picked Primo. I can't remember. But he was like 12 or 13. That's high, okay? Particularly when the team that's drafting in that slot most likely just missed the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Your late lottery.
Right.
So you're looking for pieces to fit to play for you right away.
Right away.
Okay.
Exactly.
And I don't see him
doing
that.
You don't think Primo's that kind of player? Now, the other kid I want to ask you about that I thought was the other kid from Alabama that went a lot later in the draft.
Petty? Jones.
No, Sharee.
Oh, he's from Auburn.
Sharee
Cooper.
Yeah. Didn't he go a lot later than a lot of people thought? Yeah.
But he's small, okay? And, I mean, he's a point guard, and that's what he is. Mm-hmm. So that didn't surprise me at all. I think he's a great pick at 2, see what happens. But the other kid, Jones, that played for Alabama, Dan, was the player of the year and the defensive player of the year. He's pretty good. Now, he fell to the second round also, I believe, and about 6'6". Again, he's got issues with his shooting. But, man, can he D you up? He can put pressure on the ball. He seems to understand rotations defensively. He'll run the floor. He'll do all the things you want, except he's not going to get you much offensively.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah, Sharif Cooper.
Yeah,
is the point guard.
I was surprised. Now, some of the local people that we talked about, I think David Johnson, good for him being drafted. I think he went a little higher than most people thought he was going to go.
Well, some people didn't think he would be drafted.
Right.
He comes late second.
Now, what I read about him this morning was that he had probably, with his year at U of L, had probably fallen out of the draft, but he went to the combine, and I think he impressed some people at the combine and kind of got back into the discussion, and he wound up going higher than Boston did.
Yeah, Boston and David Johnson are guys that when we talked to Winston Bennett earlier about his time he spent trying to get to the NBA and what it meant to him and how it affected him. These two guys, you know, the dream is over. You made your dream. You were drafted in the NBA. Maybe not as high as you want,
yeah,
but you're drafted.
Right.
So right. Now reality sets in. You go to rookie free agent camp. Right, which is the next step.
Yep.
Before the summer league. It's a short deal, but they bring you in. So reality hits in now. Okay, you're in a camp against guys that they also think can play and they want to take a look at and possibly sign.
And what what these kids better be waiting for is that they're going to be playing with and against a lot of guys that went undrafted or have been out there, Mike, for 2 or 3 years, bouncing around different places, trying to make an impression. And it was always my experience that when these we had, I don't know, I can't remember who it was. We had our first rounder play. A lot of teams don't have the first rounder play early on. But we had a couple of first rounders that played in our summer league. But especially our second round draft picks, I mean, they went to the summer league. They got their hat handed to them a couple of times because these other kids that have been out there fighting and scratching and clawing to try and make an NBA roster, you know, they're there to show what they can do. So good luck to them.
Yeah, and it's a wake-up call. And if guys go in it, into it, in Winston talk, we talked to Winston Bennett about this. It's a wake-up call. If you're willing to listen and you're willing to look around, see what's going on. It's a good wake-up call. It's a chance maybe if you go to the rookie free agent camp and you move out of that to the summer league, you're going to have an adjustment. First, it's a punch in the nose with typically rookie free agent. Then you go to the summer league and you really find out. And yet some guys don't understand the summer league is not the NBA.
No.
It's not the NBA.
No. And you know, you have, as you said, you've got the three levels. You go to the rookie free agent camp trying to make the team that goes to the summer league. Then you go to the summer league hoping you get invited back to the regular training camp, and then you've got to compete against 15 guys that already have guaranteed contracts. So it's tough. What do you see with Ball? I was surprised the Clippers traded for that pick to get Boston.
I think he's an LA guy, or at least he played out there in high school, I think.
I mean, you talk about reality setting in. This kid was one of the top five recruits out of high school last year, and he winds up getting drafted late second round.
Very unexpected when he started college. And then we talked about how people adjust to this, and we talked about we watch people that are playing in the Olympics or basketball or football, and they say there's too much stress, I need to get out. I can't deal with this, whether you agree or disagree. But in the case of Boston, he's got to deal with expectations that are perceived to not be met. Now, think about that. Absolutely. Yeah, he may still have confidence in himself, and he may be motivated to kick some buns when he goes to camp. But the perception that he's got to live with from people is that he was a failure. Okay? So what does that do to his confidence? Now, I would say to him, and I think you would advise him also, stay the hell off the social media. Don't listen to all those yardbirds that, you know, are degrading you on social media.
Absolutely.
Just stay in the present moment all by yourself and your friends, the people you trust. But don't get outside of that. Try to screen yourself. But saying that, these young folks, it's hard for them to do that.
Like we talked about the other day, it's like a drug. They can't have their phone be more than a foot and a half away from them. And I know some old people that are like that, too.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So the one pick that I really like.
Well, let's go back to Boston a second.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Pardon me for interrupting. But he's got to learn to play harder. He's got some skills. He just didn't play hard. He was a reluctant defender. He could play a passing lane. But as far as putting effort, going over the top of picks or going behind, he just stopped, you know, and had a hard time staying between the ball and the basket because I don't think he cared. I don't think he really cared about that end of the floor.
Yeah.
And if you get lit up in college, you're going to get lit up with the next step along the way.
Well, we talked about this the other day, and reading some of the scouting reports, and of course that isn't the end-all to anything either, but you know, it said the reluctant defender part. It said he had to get a lot stronger and physical. He would run from contact rather than, you know, you take the ball to the basket, you got to expect to get hit. I mean, somebody's
going
to.
And maybe not get a foul.
Exactly. Somebody's going to lay a body on you. You've got to be able to take some physical contact if you want to be a good player. Now, you can run around the 3-point line and not have contact with anybody, but that doesn't get you to the level you really want to be. And the third thing was, and this surprised me, Mike, was some people say he's not a very good shooter.
Very streaky.
I mean, if you can't shoot, you stay away from physical contact and you're a reluctant defender, how do you get picked in the second round?
Because he's 6'6", he is athletic, and they've watched him do some things in high school and now. And let's be honest about the second round. It's a probably bad terminology, Dan, but it's a throwaway pick. You're taking a crapshoot.
Oh, sure, and that's why. And that's why I hope that Boston goes to the. I hope they send him to the G League, whether it's on a two-way contract or they just send him there to start with, because he's got to play,
yep.
And he's not going to play given his current set of skills. He's not going to play if he sits on the Clippers bench. So I hope he does go to the G League and is able to improve, because he's not good enough to play in the NBA right now.
He's destined for the G League. You know, you can go across the river and put some money down. It's how he deals with it and comes out. Isaiah Jackson went just about where everybody told me he was going to go. My intel,
yep.
20 to 25, he goes 22, mm-hmm. And then he's traded. He's going to be playing for the Pacers. And they've got Turner, Miles Turner, the big fellow that blocks shots. They got some people. So I don't know much about their player development situation with the Pacers. But there's a kid that needs exactly what you said. Minutes, playing minutes, not bench minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, that everybody thinks, well, it'd be great if I was on the NBA roster, and I understand that. I mean, you get treated like a king. You stay in 5-star hotels. You fly on charter jets.
Walk around money.
per diem. I understand that. But if you really want, if you want to develop your game, if you need to work on your game, the end of an NBA bench is not the place to do it.
I think where the lines cross, and see what you think before we take a break. I think where the lines cross is you're Isaiah Jackson or you're Billy Bob, whoever it may be. The lines cross when you get this guaranteed money at 22, and are you willing to work hard enough,
exactly.
Or are you not? That's where the lines cross.
Yeah, well, I would be surprised if they're getting a lot of guaranteed money late in the second round.
Oh, no, but Isaiah got it at 22.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah, Isaiah, yeah, that's a good point.
No, they're not getting anything you know, in the second round.
Right, right. Let me tell you about my friends at Berno's Pizza. Rob Moody is a proprietor of the Bowman Field store. Stop by, say hello to Rob. There are 13 area locations in Kentucky, and my favorite spot to watch the games. Great food, great drinks, great people. Berno's has you covered for lunch or dinner. All Berno's are now delivering alcohol, carry out, and delivery to your home. Support your local businesses. Now hiring at all positions. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
We depend on the internet.
Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
Some sweet music for your ears. Sweet music from West Virginia. Yes, sir. But before we get back to some draft talk, I know you have something you want to bring up that we haven't talked yet about from the draft. But let me tell you about one of our sponsors. What would you have in your dream house? The financing may not be as glamorous as a wraparound deck in a hot tub, but it can leave you set up for success or leave you frustrated. The folks at Stockton Mortgage can craft a mortgage that is exactly the right fit for you. Your dream home is just a mortgage away. Go to Stockton.com. What they say at Stockton is true. Find your home. They'll take care of the rest. NMLS number 8259, equal housing lender. So, Mr. Issel, you have something about the draft order?
Yeah, I wanted to the last local kid was Bassey from Western. And, you know, we talked yesterday, I saw some mock drafts that had him going as high as late in the first round, and he was late in the second round. He was after Johnson and Boston. But I think he went to a perfect place for him. He went to the 76ers, probably going to get some time backing up Embiid. And so I think that's a nice landing spot for him, even though it was late in the second round. So good for him.
6'10 or 6'11, supposed to be a shot blocker. Very athletic. Again, lacks some offensive skills. So that might be the best place. He reminds me, help me with this, Charles, a kid from Georgia that played with the Nets that was their backup, real tall, skinny kid. He played at Georgia, and he got beat up. I mean, you remember he came in with all the injuries, was playing lots of minutes, long, lanky kid. And I question why he went out, but I think he was a second-round pick of the Nets.
Nicholas Claxton?
Claxton. That's right. But he got playing time due to injuries, got beat up, pushed around, and he just couldn't deal with Embiid. You know, just couldn't deal with Embiid.
Yeah. And I think there's nothing skinny about this kid from Western.
No.
He's a man.
I think he's a better prospect coming out of college than Claxton. Now, Claxton is playing in the NBA. We don't know the circumstances of his development, but they're similar type players, size-wise and athleticism. So we hope that Mr. Bassey makes it and makes it big.
Yeah.
That's a good pick because he'll spend time in practice against Embiid.
Yeah.
They can send him to their G League team. They can bring him up and down, and I'm sure they've got some other people. How about our man Ben Simmons, Mr. Offense? They're trying to shop him throughout the NBA.
Can you believe the names that they are talking about? Damian Lillard?
Yep.
Are you kidding me? That if somebody traded Ben Simmons for Damian Lillard, the Damian Lillard people would be out of a job real quick.
I think now they're to a point where they're asking for the moon, they being the Sixers, asking for the moon, knowing that they're going to end up getting way down in the star system.
Yeah, well, that's like the quarterback for the Texans. They came out and said they wanted 5 draft picks or starting players. Yeah, good luck with that.
Well, when you have a tarnished product, and Simmons would be a tarnished product, not personally, but his game is tarnished.
Yeah.
People understand what his game is. And even though in the NBA, Philly thinks they can change his offense, they can get it going, the next team that trades for him says, you know what, I think I can steal this kid, right? They think they can steal him, and they might be right, but that they can make him an offensive guy. You know, I was watching clips of him, Dan, why it came to my mind. The clips they're showing on ESPN this morning or yesterday morning were all of him receiving passes in or around the basket or dunks. You know, and that's his game.
Oh, yeah. He can't.
And he's never going to be much more than that.
Lick. No, right. No. Right. No, he's never going to be. I mean, he's been in the league 5 or 6 years, hadn't he?
I think four.
You don't all of a sudden become a great shooter if you can't, you know, he can't hit the floor with a basketball.
Well, and the other point of him is I think, like many guys who lose their confidence, he wants nothing to do with the offense.
No, especially at the end of games. Yeah. He's running away from the basketball. You might as well, you get to the last 6 minute mark of a game, you might as well put him on the bench because you're not going to get anything for him.
They do. You sit $25 million a year down to you. You're paying this guy $25 million a year and you can't, you got to take him out like you said.
No. It's...
Well, I know you're watching the Olympics diligently. I know that, and you love the diving and some
handball. Who won the gold medal in the handball? Give us an Olympic update, Charles. Who won the gold medal in the handball? That looked like some.
The U.S. has won more medals.
You know
medals.
What that game looks like? That game looks like some gym teacher. Didn't have anything to do, and decided she was going to put two soccer goals on each end of a basketball court and play handball. Yes, Charles.
Well, luckily they have not given out the medals yet, so we still have a few more days of competitions for both men's and women's. They go until the very end. Actually, they go till the 8th. The women's go to the 8th. The men's go to the 7th.
Wow! Now, is the USA in both, or just one, or both?
I'm still looking. I'm not seeing them right here. Hold on.
That ought to be the first thing that pops up when you Google Olympics.
You know, one thing would be interesting to research. Maybe I'll do that over the weekend. Who in the world invented this game? Where did it start? Huh?
It's very popular in Europe. You guessed that. I think it was on Monday or Tuesday. Yeah. So you were right, Mike. It is very popular in Europe. I don't see the U.S. having a team. That's sad.
Oh, we don't even have a handball team?
I don't think so.
Men or women.
Wow.
Men or women. Wow. I'm not seeing the U.S. team.
Okay. All right. So go ahead.
An Olympic update for you.
Yes.
I got a kick out of this. The Fiji men's rugby sevens, okay?
is this a Friday footnote?
An Olympic special footnote.
Thank God it's almost the weekend.
They've won back-to-back gold medals, okay?
The Fiji rugby team?
Men's rugby sevens.
What does that mean? Seven guys on a team?
I would think so.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Now.
Isn't that opposed to how many people usually play on a rugby team?
I don't know. Have you ever seen a rugby match?
No.
Nor have I.
No.
So, anyway... the country's under curfew because of COVID. Fiji's been hit very hard by COVID.
Well, that's not funny.
Now, to get to Japan, because of the limitations on commercial travels, these guys, just to win the gold medal, Charles, they had to go from Fiji to Japan in a cargo plane.
A cargo plane.
Yeah, with the cargo.
What dedication.
I mean, really?
Well, there was only seven of them, so they didn't.
Well, they had backups.
Have to find a lot of room.
No, but I mean, they're bouncing around with the water and food and cars. They're all back there in the back, trying to, sleep in a car on the cargo plane.
That's great.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Dedication.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting aside.
Any idea what kind of plane it was?
No, just said cargo plane.
Okay.
It didn't say anything else.
And normally rugby is 15-on-15.
There you go.
I looked at. They have 7-on-7s. They have 15-on-15.
Okay.
Oh, well, they won the sevens.
They don't have the 15 in the Olympics, actually.
Okay.
And I take that back. Do you know where they have rugby competition? Aspen, Colorado.
Really?
The only rugby game I've ever seen in person was in a park in Aspen, Colorado.
And that's a rich man's vacation, Aspen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're talking big bucks.
Hey,
big bucks.
Let's go back to this Dodgers trade with Washington. It is, and we had somebody text us about the Dodgers. The Dodgers have now Scherzer, who's a sure Hall of Famer, and they have Walter Buehler, who's from Lexington. They have Clayton Kershaw. They had a guy by the name of Urias. And
he, at one time, he was leading the majors in wins.
Kershaw?
Urias.
Urias, right.
He had 11. I don't know where he is now. The reason I know that is because he and Kyle Hendricks were before the All-Star game, they were tied at 11 wins apiece. I don't know how many he has now.
And another fella called with the name of Gosselin, G-O-N-S-O-L-I-N. He's like their fifth guy.
And they have David Price, who pitched yesterday.
And this article hasn't even mentioned Price. I guess he's maybe on the IR, huh?
No, he pitched yesterday. He gave up, I don't know, four or five runs to the Giants yesterday.
Well, Turner is interesting, the shortstop.
He's really a good player.
He is. And he can bat at the top of your order. He's got speed and power.
Is he going to be a free agent, does it say?
It doesn't say.
What did the Dodgers have to give up?
That's a fair question.
Probably not a lot, since Scherzer's going to be a free agent.
Yeah, and he's got big money. I don't think they gave up much. I cannot find that. But I don't think.
How about your Reds? Your Reds win three in a row in Wrigley Field.
Three of four.
And Joey Votto. What about Joey Votto?
He's
found the fountain of youth. Last Saturday morning, he wakes up with 12 home runs. He now has 20. He hit home runs in six consecutive games, a Reds record. And two of those games, he had multiple home runs. Yesterday, you knew it was coming. I told you we had one of our flamethrowers on the mound for the Cubbies throwing that high heat at about 88 miles an hour. And he threw one down. I mean, a batting practice pitcher can throw harder balls to hit than this pitch was. It was 88 miles an hour, about belt high, right down the middle, and Votto smacked it.
Two weeks ago, he was sick and took himself out of the lineup.
Yeah. He's not taking himself out of the lineup today because he is squared in. Now, the water gets a little deeper, though. They go play the Mets, or is that... is that at home or is that in New York? I know we have it on. We have it on the station later today.
Yeah, that's. It's at New York. At New York,
Sonny Gray.
Maybe Sonny. Of course,
He didn't pitch in the four game series in Chicago.
No, and he's had been struggling. And he's their ace. He has been struggling. Going back to the draft, I forgot to ask you. I made note of this. How about Orlando, one of the original expansion teams? They've got a couple. They got the young kid from Florida State that's coming off a knee injury that's a very nice player. They're trying to reload that team. They got Suggs, which we've talked about.
Yeah, like him.
And they got this Franz Wagner. The brother of the Wagner who played at Michigan is now in the NBA. But the youngin's supposed to be the best, Wagner. Supposed to be two of the best defenders in the draft. Jonathan Isaac is the guy that I'm talking about that was hurt last year, was their top pick, and he's pretty good. But, Orlando's trying to build it back, and they're building it back around guys who can defend.
The way the game's played today, you obviously need to defend. A lot of people criticize the NBA and say there's no defense. Let me tell you, if there was no defense, the scores would be in the 200s. If you're rebuilding a franchise, you got to make sure you can put the ball in the basket, especially the way the game's played today.
How about this to support our discussions? Yeah, if you can't stay between the ball and the basket, forget it.
Right.
I mean, and that's hard for some guys that they
those reluctant defenders.
It says here, the San Antonio Spurs stretched a bit to take Josh Primo with the 12th overall selection.
There you go.
This could certainly work out just fine long term. And they go on to say that it was only a few years ago that the Suns were talked about for taking Cam Johnson with the 11th overall, okay? But he was a key player this year. But Primo, Cam Johnson was a shooter at North Carolina. He was a shooter at Pittsburgh. So you knew what you were getting, a more experienced player. Primo, 1 year in college, 18, 19 years old, and he's the youngest player in the draft. He was ranked 26 by some people who put those things together, and he gets picked with the 12th pick.
Yeah.
Is that a bit of a reach?
Well, that's why I asked you earlier, because I knew that you liked him, but you didn't think he was going to go that high. I will say this. Given their history, San Antonio doesn't make very many mistakes.
That's true.
They don't make very many mistakes, and there must be something special that they see in this kid's upside.
But saying that, you're exactly right. And but they took Keldon Johnson at 30 last year, or 2 years ago, stuck him in a G League. It's worked out well.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
nice.
Really worked out for them nice and player. For Keldon. Now, this kid, you take him in the 12th with the 12th pick. I mean, are you that loaded at Spurs?
No.
They didn't make the playoffs.
No, they're not loaded at all. That's why they're in the lottery.
Maybe they think that Keldon Johnson is the guy in that they now have, and they do like him. He's played well. He is the guy. Maybe they think they can put Primo in the G League playing behind Keldon Johnson, mm-hmm. but you still got to start winning some games and making the playoffs.
And
I mean, this kid's not going to help you for a year or two.
No, not especially if he's only, what did you say, 19?
Yeah, maybe 19. 18, he was a freshman, 18, 19 years old.
But if I was betting, I'd bet on San Antonio.
All right, here you go. NBA draft. Which second-round pick will most likely be an all-star? Now, one writer says he thinks it's Sharif Cooper, the kid from the
That's
little guard.
That's the one we brought up earlier. Yeah.
He says he's a lot like Trae Young in his game, and he thinks he's got a chance to exceed his draft slot. Drew Holiday, Jared Butler is a comparison to Drew Holiday, a defensive stopper. And outside of that, most of the people one guy likes Isaiah Todd, and I can't remember where he's the G League guy last year was one of the top high school prospects in 2020, and he was second rounder, 31st pick. So those are some of the guys that people like.
Didn't you say that Sharif's awfully small, though?
He's little. Yeah, he's little. He's little. He can go places with the ball. The difference between him and those little guards, if they can get to the paint, they create a lot of problems in college.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Now, pro's a different game. All right. That's where you got to divide and say, look, you can do it in college. You're probably not going to do it consistently. And when you get there, it's not the same world you've been living in, right?
Exactly.
But Cooper can, when you leave him alone, he can't shoot it. But he's really good in transition. If you're looking to push the ball and get into a transition situation, he's really good at that. Now, the real question is, is he a reluctant defender, or can you keep him in for a while defensively? Isn't that the question?
Yeah. You remember, we were talking about Jerry West earlier. Do you remember a long, long time ago? I think he played at Providence. Ernie
DiGregorio?
Yeah. Do you remember?
He
came out. He came out and got a lot of money.
Yes, he did.
He was one of
Providence.
One of the top picks, maybe the top pick. He might have been the first round.
Wow. Who blew that one?
but I remember his nickname became Ernie No D instead of Ernie D. And I remember he was making more money his rookie year than Jerry West. And now I can't even remember. See who DiGregorio played for. This would have been, this was a long, long time ago.
About 75.
Yeah.
1975. Yeah, Ernie D. Played with Marvin Barnes.
Yeah.
Our guy Marvin.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
And he came out and got this huge contract and was making more money than Jerry West. And I remember the first time he played against Jerry West, Jerry gave him about 50. I mean, it was so bad. Okay, West Virginia.
Okay, so from 73 to 77, he played for the Buffalo Braves.
Yeah.
And then he was actually with the Lakers from 77 to 78, and then he's with the Celtics for 1 year.
So his first year in the league was 73?
Yes, yeah. With the Braves. And he was Rookie of the Year. He was NBA Rookie of the Year.
And the Braves record was 13-50 or something like that. He got a lot of touches. He got a lot of handles, and he didn't win any games.
I remember Jerry giving him about 50 the first time they matched up.
All right, a little background Olympic information here for you, Mr. Issel.
Yes.
Rugby sevens is 7 on each team. Normal rugby is 15 on each team. We talked about that.
Yeah, Charles told
us.
That.
Sevens is higher scoring and more fast pace. The USA is much more competitive in sevens. How about that? Thank you, Dexter. How about that one? Sevens. And
all I know is you got to be a man to play that sport because they don't wear any pads or anything. And it's like football without pads. It's a physical game, that's for sure.
Well, you were talking about the Mets and my red legs. Sonny Gray's up tonight.
I figured he was because he wasn't in the Cubs series.
2-6. This is the guy that wanted out of New York because he didn't like the atmosphere in New York with
right.
the media.
Well, you can't blame him for that.
I cannot blame him. And he was traded to the Reds, which is a much lower key place.
Right.
But it's a smaller field.
I'm not sure. But I think he was with the Yankees, right?
Yes.
I think the Yankees draw more than 7,500 a game. So I can see where he enjoyed being in Cincinnati instead of in
How can you throw stones after losing 3 or 4? How can you do that?
Hey, I admit we stink. But did you see the people there?
Yeah, there were people.
There wasn't a seat to be had. Well, that's the part I don't understand. The Cubs got to be making money here. Hand over fist. They buy all of the seats. They yesterday afternoon, on a Thursday afternoon, not only was Wrigley Field full, but the seats that they have on top of the apartment buildings out beyond the outfield were full. And they've got to be making a boatload of money. They built a hotel there. I don't understand why we're getting rid of all of our great players. But I'm sorry, I digress. So Sonny likes pitching
in front of
7,500 people better than Yankee Stadium.
All I can tell you is this, that it was 50-cent beer day at the Cubbies game.
No, it wasn't. I guarantee you can't get a beer for 50 cents within 100 miles of Wrigley Field.
Sonny Gray, 2-6, 4.5 ERA. He's given up 11 home runs, got 89 Ks. Sonny is struggling, but he will be on the mound against the Nicky Valvano, Bob Valvano Mets tonight.
Who's pitching for the Mets?
The Mets are going with the guy.
Is DeGrom still on the injured list?
Carlos Carrasco.
Oh, he's the guy they got from the Guardians.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was with Cleveland. They got him from the Guardians.
A friend of mine texted me. The guy's an Indians fan, okay? And he said he's rat-holing his Indians cap with the chief on the top there.
It'll be worth it.
Yep. He says, I think it'll be worth
100 years from now, it'll be worth a lot of money.
I wonder what kind of pushback Cleveland's going to get on that. Guardians.
Well, what was the Hall of Fame baseball writer we had on?
Oh, Hal McCoy.
Yeah, Hal said they're getting a lot of pushback on it. He said they'll always be the Cleveland Indians to him.
Yeah, I mean it's any name but the Guardians. I mean, you could have gone like, okay, any name but the Guardians. I mean, what kind of name is that? Jeez, man, are you kidding me? So. What are you going to do? We've got Jim Dandy this weekend. I know you're going to be watching the races.
I'm going to be watching the races. There's actually a really good race on this afternoon from Saratoga. It's called the Curlin, named after the great racehorse and now sire. And Shug McGahee has a horse in there that they paid $1.5 million for, who ironically is by Curlin.
But who paid the money? What's the group?
I can't remember who it is. All I know is that Bobby Flay, who is the chef who's big into horse racing, he bred the horse and sold it for $1.5 million and then stayed in as one of the partners. But I can't remember who the
I didn't know he was. He's in horse racing big time?
Oh, big time.
Wow,
big
did not
time.
Know that.
He gave now, this has been a few years ago. I think he bought a mare for like $4.2 million. Yeah, he's in it big time. So this colt's running this afternoon. He'll be a big favorite. But Suge wanted to give him more seasoning, run him in the Curlin today instead of the Jim Dandy tomorrow, where he would have had to face Essential Quality. But a big race today, a bigger race tomorrow, all prep races for the Travers.
What do you think Essential Quality will go off at, 3 to 5?
Probably. Yeah. 3 to 5, maybe four to five.
Well, I'm going to put some money on if I get 4 to 5. I just like to cash a check.
It's not a check.
Well, it looks like a check to me.
Who was the horse? There was a horse last weekend that Brad Cox had.
One to five.
Oh. In your defense, I think she was maybe 3 to 5.
She started 4 to 5, Dan.
Okay, but then they scratched the second favorite at the gate, and you had a bet on a 1 to 5 shot.
You know, I thought I had to have a winner at 4 to 5. I loved that horse, and the horse ran really well. But at 1 to 5, are you kidding me? I couldn't.
At least you didn't have any anxious moments. I mean, from the time they opened the gate, you knew she was a winner.
Once I looked on my Twin Spires account and saw 1 to 5, I fell asleep.
the one thing all of these so-called experts that you see on TVG and Fox America Day at the races. Everything. They always talk about value. You know, I can't bet that even money shot. You know, the real value is in this 5-to-1 shot. I'll tell you where the value is. The value is in the horse that crosses the finish line first. Now you can't pick your odds. You can't pick 4-to-1 or even money, but you can pick your horse. I've always found that to be really, really stupid. The value's in the 4-to-5 or in the 5-to-1 shot. The value is cash and tickets.
I love it. That's exactly right.
Right.
Now, you ask me what I'm going to be doing besides watching horse races this weekend. I'm going to be tracking Aaron Rodgers and what he's doing. That's soap opera.
Hey, you know, in our market here in Louisville, I don't think, although I guess, we follow Lamar pretty closely and follow some of the Bengals pretty closely, but there isn't the fanfare in Louisville that there are in actual NFL cities. I mean, a show like ours today with training camp starting in Denver, there would not have been a word uttered about the NBA draft
or the Rockies
or any other thing that we talked about today. It would have been the Denver Broncos and who's going to play quarterback from the time the show started till the time the show ended. It's just it's NFL all the time. In the larger markets, they dominate.
Well, to your point, I was watching this morning. They had some clips from the training camp concerning Rodgers. And he and the Love kid, who's being groomed to be their quarterback, were throwing into nets. They were working on their drop steps and then throwing the ball into nets. And then they had a big picture. And it daggone practice facility was full. I mean, there were people hanging, not sitting, just standing, watching a practice that didn't include a scrimmage. Are you kidding me? Hello.
I'm telling you, it's the most popular sport going right now.
I know.
For sure.
That's what I'm going to be doing. And
you're going to be tracking Aaron Rodgers.
I'll be tracking Aaron Rodgers. You know what we ought to do, and I know we've got to get off here. We ought to probably start our NFL, just tracking the NFL. We'll take the Browns and the Bengals because they're our local team. Unless you want to take the Bears, but I don't think you're a great Bears
No,
fan.
I'm not a big Bears fan. So I'm a Bengals fan.
Okay, we can start talking and tracking.
I want to have Kenny on next week to talk about the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
let's do it, man.
Yeah, I mean,
it's quite an honor.
It really is. I mean, Ken Riley was a great cornerback for the Bengals. Kenny, Anthony Munoz, and of course Paul Brown. That's pretty heady company.
I dislike Paul Brown because he left my Browns to start the Bengals.
Yeah.
Could not understand why he would do that. But and next week, let's get Kenny. And next week we have Jody Meeks coming on Tuesday.
If he remembers. I don't like Jody Meeks.
All right.
That's West Virginia, for today. Thank you for everything. We wish you good luck in your final semester at West Virginia, and come back and see us often. And to all of you listening, have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday morning. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations, but they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.